My liver would split open because of this. She's a young girl. She thinks something is going to happen because of all of these tears coming out. She said, I thought my liver would just burst inside of me because of these tears coming out. While I was sitting crying with me, and my parents were around me, one of the Ansar ladies asked permission to enter, and she came in and she started crying with me. Look at the sisterhood of the Sahaba. The Ansari lady, we don't even know her name, whoever she is, but may Allah reward her a grand reward. She just comes in, and she knows how Aisha is feeling. And she can do nothing but just cry with her. To try to make her feel soft, we are sharing your pain, O Aisha. We also feel what you are going through. While we were in that state, the Prophet ﷺ entered upon us. Realize Aisha is unaware of what has occurred in the masjid, unaware of Ali and Usama, she doesn't know anything. The Prophet ﷺ entered upon us, said salam, and sat down. And he had not sat next to me for a whole month. For a whole month, the Prophet ﷺ had not shown that tenderness that she was used to while these rumors were being spread. For this whole month, no wahi, no inspiration had been revealed concerning me. And this was of the miracles and of the beauty and of the wisdom of Allah. That he not reveal anything as at this point in time. That he allow this incident to occur so that when it is read, when it is narrated, the impact will be there. The feeling will be there. Also so that the munafiqoon become clear from the mu'minoon. And this is something we will read about in the Qur'an, the revelation that came down after this. The Prophet ﷺ started praising Allah, which meant he was about to give an important talk. It was a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the sunnah of all of us after him as well. When we start a talk, we start with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, أَمَّا بَعْد. As to what follows, then I have heard such and such about you, O Aisha. So if you are innocent, if you are free of this charge, then Allah will clear you of this charge. But if you have slipped into a sin, then seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Him. For verily, when a servant does a sin and admits to it, then he repents, then Allah repents upon him and forgives his sin. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally confronts Aisha. He comes to Aisha and he tells her of what is going on. He informs her of the rumors. And you can imagine the confusion of the Prophet ﷺ. What is he to do? He doesn't know. No wahi has come down. Are these rumors correct? Are they not correct? So he comes to Aisha and he presents both sides of the coin. If you are innocent, then Allah will clear you of this charge. You will be proven innocent. Do not worry. But if you have, and look how he phrases it, slipped into a sin. This is his own wife. And any one of us, put yourself in this situation, how you would be feeling. Could you control your emotions in this manner? Could you control the frustration and the anger for a whole month while your wife is sick? Could you then come and broach the subject so gently if you have slipped into a sin? And then what does he tell her? Repent to Allah. His own wife. And every man can feel that jealousy. Subhanallah. If a man looks at your wife, how do you feel? How jealous do you become? How angry do you become? Now that these rumors are being spread, look at the gentleness of the Prophet ﷺ. If you have slipped into a sin, then repent to Allah. And wallahi, the Prophet's ghiyara, the Prophet's jealousy and protection of Aisha, is much more than we can even imagine. Yet, he is also the Nabi. He is also the Arham, Ar-Rahimin, the Rahim, the Ra'uf. He is also the one full of pity and mercy and compassion. So he tells Aisha, if you have slipped into this sin, then seek Allah's forgiveness. For verily, when a person does a sin and then repents to Allah and seeks His forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that sin. Look here at the status of repentance in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ is basically saying, if you, the wife of the Prophet, were to commit zina, wal-iyadu billah, and then repent, Allah will accept your repentance. So, O Muslim brother and sister, is your sin that you and me are doing daily, the sins that we do, are they more evil than this possibility that is being mentioned in the hadith? Are they worse than this? If they are not, then why do you give up hope of the mercy of Allah? If they are not, then how is it that you despair that Allah will accept your repentance? If Allah can accept the repentance in this state, if it did occur, then surely the sins I am guilty of, the sins you are guilty of, are less than this. Cannot Allah accept our tawbah then? So what is it that prevents us from this act of tawbah? Here now, we find the confusion of the Prophet ﷺ. We also find his fallibility and his humanness. He did not know the ilm al-ghayb. He didn't know the knowledge of the unseen. If he did, he would have said, Aisha, I know what occurred. He didn't know. He was merely a human being whom Allah had inspired. So he was not a god, nor was he a demigod, nor did he know the knowledge of the unseen. He was a human being. These emotions were inside of him. You can feel the confusion that the Prophet ﷺ is facing. Also imagine Aisha's pain and frustration here. For the first time the Prophet ﷺ is broaching the subject. For the first time he admits that these rumors are occurring, and he also shows her that this is why he has been affected in this manner. Imagine the pain every woman must feel that her husband has this doubt about her. Every woman will feel the pain, and every man even will feel pity and compassion for Aisha. So here now, she says, when the Prophet ﷺ stopped talking, my tears stopped completely. This is the catalyst that caused the tears to stop. My tears stopped completely until I could not feel a wetness in my eyes. I turned to my father and I said, respond to Rasulullah. Give a response on my behalf. I have nothing to say. Abu Bakr said, Wallahi, what am I to say? I don't know what I'm going to say. What is he to do? This is his daughter, but that is the Messenger of Allah. This is Aisha, but this is Rasulullah. How can he pick sides here? What is he going to say? So he says, by Allah, I don't know what to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha then turns to Umm Ruman and says, O mother, respond on my behalf to Rasulullah. Umm Ruman says, by Allah, I don't know what to say. What am I going to say here? You are my daughter, but this is Rasulullah. What am I to say? I am put in a very... You can imagine the pain of Abu Bakr, the pain of Umm Ruman. What are they going to say in this situation? So Aisha says, I was still a young girl at the time, and I had not memorized much of the Qur'an, so I could not remember the name of the father of Yusuf, meaning Ya'qub. So she said, I know, Wallahi, that you have heard these rumors until it has settled in your hearts. That you have heard these rumors until it has settled in your souls, and you have believed in it. So if I were to tell you that I am not guilty, you would not believe me. If I were to tell you that I didn't do it, these rumors have affected you. It doesn't matter what I will say. You will still think that I am lying to you. And if I were to admit to a matter that I did not do, if I were to admit to a crime that I did not commit, if I were to lie to you and tell you that I did this, then you would believe me. This is the evil effect of rumors. You cannot get out of them. Aisha realizes the human soul. Aisha realizes the psychology of human beings. When these rumors are being spread, they are difficult to remove from the heart. So she says, these rumors have settled in your heart. What do you want me to do? If I were to say I didn't do it, you wouldn't believe me. And if I were to say I did do it and lie to you, you would then believe me. So she says, I have nothing to say to you except what the father of Yusuf said. And that is why she says, I don't remember what the father of Yusuf's name was, Ya'qub. What the father of Yusuf said when he found out that Yusuf was missing, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. So patience is beautiful. All I can do is be patient. I have no choice but to be patient here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek His help in what you are describing. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Here we see the iman of Aisha. We see the patience of Aisha. We see the maturity of Aisha. We see the intelligence of Aisha. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. What is she to do? And look at her iman in Allah. She says, I can do nothing but be patient. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. And all I can do is turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. I will, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek His help against what you are describing. Here we don't know whether we should cry for Aisha, whether we should cry for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we should cry for Abu Bakr or Umm Ruman, or whether we should cry for all of them. All of them are going through a fitna. All of them are going through a trial here. And Aisha says, so I turned around on my bed. I faced the wall and my back was to them. And Allah knew that I was innocent of this charge. And I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would somehow declare my innocence. However, by Allah, I never even thought that Allah would reveal verses in the Qur'an concerning me. I never thought that He would reveal ayat that we recited, that would become a part of the Qur'an until the Day of Judgment. Verily, I thought myself too low in the sight of Allah for verses to be revealed about me. No, Ya Aisha. Wallahi, Ya Aisha, that is not the case. You are the Siddiqah, bint al-Siddiq. You are the trustworthy one, the truthful one, the daughter of the Siddiq. You are the one who, when a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, Ya Rasulallah, who do you love the most on this earth? He said, Aisha. You are the most beloved of mankind to the one who is the most beloved to Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your status is not low or trivial in the sight of Allah. Rather, you are worthy that Qur'an be revealed in your favor, that verses be recited to the Day of Judgment about you and about your innocence, O Mother of the Believers. So she says that I did not think that I was worthy in the sight of Allah, that verses would be revealed about me. Rather, I was hoping that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam might see in his dream something that would declare my innocence. She thought that at least some type of dream would come. That was the most she would hope for. Nothing more than that. At least let the Prophet ﷺ see a dream in which he sees what actually occurred, and nothing evil occurred. However, the Prophet ﷺ had not moved from his place, nor had anyone exited the house. Nothing had happened until the revelation started upon him. He started perspiring from the brow, even though it was a cold winter, due to the pressure of the revelation process upon him. When the revelation finished, the Prophet ﷺ lifted his head and you could see the joy coming from his face. You could see the smile break out from his face. He started laughing out of happiness. And he says, the first words that he said, Ya Aisha, verily Allah has declared your innocence. Allah has declared you free of this crime. You are innocent of this crime. Umm Ruman, Aisha's mother, stood up and said, O Aisha, stand up to thank the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha said, Wallahi, I will not stand up to him. Rather, I will thank only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will thank Allah who is the one that revealed my innocence. Here, look at the perfection of Aisha's iman and tawheed. She realized that the one to thank was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She realized that the revelation had come from Allah. So she says, I will thank Allah, even though she is married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has declared her free. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has revealed the wahi, the inspiration. Also look at the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy. You can imagine the frustration and the pain. And finally the wahi has been revealed. He raises his face and the joy is shining. The light is just springing forth from his face. He is laughing out of joy. And he says, Ya Aisha, Allah has declared your innocence from above the seven heavens. Also look at the fact that this incident is one of the clearest proofs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in fact a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is this? For a whole month, no revelation occurs. Had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished, or we seek Allah's refuge, had he been a false prophet, he could have concocted revelations right then and there. The next day he comes forth and says, Allah has revealed this has not occurred. These type of incidents, brothers and sisters, they show you the sincerity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are the kuffar orientalists? What are those people that study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to say to this incident? For a whole month the Prophet is confused. Does he control the wahi? Was he a liar? A'udhu billah. Did he imagine he was a prophet, concocting revelations day and night? If this were the case, how can he go through this pain for a whole month? From where did this frustration come from? Because no wahi comes down. No revelation comes. And this is from Allah and not from the Prophet ﷺ. The whole seerah testifies to the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ. Not a single incident, except that it shows the Prophet's sincerity and that he really was a prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 10 verses concerning this incident in order to declare my innocence. And these verses are verses of Surah An-Nur, verse 11 to 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرَّ لَكُمْ. Those that have come with the ifk, and this is where Allah's the name comes, those that have come to you with the slander, they are a group amongst you. عُصْبَةٌ لَكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرَّ لَكُمْ. These are Surah An-Nur verses 11 to 21. Don't think that this is an evil thing for you. Don't think that this was bad, what has occurred. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. This incident is nothing but good for you. Like we said, the wisdom of Allah in delaying the wahi. Had Allah willed, the wahi would have come down the next day, the very moment. But no, Allah willed something greater than this. Allah says, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. For everyone amongst them that said this, they will have a sin with regards to what they said. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And he who turned his back with arrogance, the leader of them. Who is the leader of them? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. He will have a great punishment. He will have a great punishment. Allah is saying in the Quran that this Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul will have a great punishment on the Day of Judgment. And then Allah says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ. Why? When you heard this for the first time. ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. They only thought, the believing men and women, why did they not think good of this? وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. Why did they not say that this is a clear lie? Why did they not realize that this is a slander upon Aisha? لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ. Why did they not bring four witnesses to this crime? And if they don't bring four witnesses, then they are in the sight of Allah liars. If you don't bring four witnesses to the crime of zina, you are liars in the sight of Allah, even if you are telling the truth. One person sees a zina, and he comes forth and he testifies to this zina, in the sight of Allah, he is a liar even if he's telling the truth. If you saw zina and you are less than four, remain quiet about it. Don't tell society, leave it. Only when there are four people can they testify with regards to the zina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, were it not for the mercy of Allah and His blessings upon you in this world and the akhirah, then verily, from what you did, you would have received a major punishment. The fact that you spread this slander around, the fact that you went from house to house, from place to place, from woman to woman, from man to man, the gossip, the slander spreading around here, were it not for Allah's mercy because of this, a great punishment you deserved to have. إِذْ تَلَقَوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. When you passed it along with your tongues, when you carried it from one tongue to another, and look at the eloquence. It is carried from the tongue to the ears. But Allah is saying that the slander spreads so fast, it is as if one tongue said it and another tongue took it and the third tongue, so the slander spreads amongst the whole society and culture. When you spread it with your tongues and you said with your mouth that which you did not have knowledge of, when you spoke based upon ignorance, when you spoke without verifying information, you spoke without knowledge. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. You thought that this was something very trivial. To slander the mother of your believer. To slander a Muslim woman. To talk bad about another Muslim. You thought this, that this was very trivial. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. You thought this was not worth anything. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But in the sight of Allah, this is a grand thing. This is an evil thing. This is a mighty thing. عظيم. You think it trivial. But to slander your Muslim brother and sister is a grand crime in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُ. Once again, why when you heard it for the first time? قُلْتُمْ. Why didn't you say when you heard it? مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. It is not proper that we speak about this. We shouldn't be talking about these slanders. We don't have the right to spread these lies. سُبْحَانَكَ. هذا بهتان عظيم. سبحان الله, this is a great slander or lie. يعظكم الله. Allah is reminding you. Allah is reminding you أن تعودوا لمثل هذا أبدا, that you return to anything like this again. إن كنتم مؤمنين, if you really have iman. Look at these verses, brothers and sisters. Go back to these verses. Open the Quran and see the verses that Allah revealed concerning Aisha. Over and over again, the people that spread the slanders are being rebuked. Over and over again, why did you hear this in the first place? Why did you let it settle in your hearts? Why did you pass it from tongue to tongue? You thought this was something trivial, but in the sight of Allah, this is very great. Why, when you heard this, did you not say, we can't talk about this? Why are we talking about this? Let's remain quiet about the honor of our Muslim brother and sister. And you thought it trivial in the sight of Allah. But verily, these matters are great in the sight of Allah. And the verses go on and on, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the punishment, that those who spread rumors about Muslim women without any evidence, then they will be whipped 80 times, 80 lashes for their punishment and their slander. And these were the verses that were revealed concerning the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. And also, Abu Bakr used to give charity to Mistah ibn Uthatha. Mistah, the same one who was spreading the slanders. Now you realize you have to differentiate between Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who was the leader of the Munafiqun, and he was the one who originated the slander. He was the one who concocted it. And between some of the Sahaba, who were Sahaba, they were not of the Munafiqun, but they fell into the error of transmitting the slander, of passing it around. And that in and of itself was a slander. It is enough of a slander that you pass around slanders as if they are the truth. So Misbah was one of the companions. He was a cousin of the Prophet, related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr used to give him charity. He was a poor person. He was of the Muhajirun who had left his wealth and family in Mecca and came to Medina. And he was obviously a relative of Abu Bakr, like we mentioned. After this incident, he said, Wallahi, I will never give, as long as I live, a single penny to Misbah, because of what he said about Aisha. I'm not going to continue my support of Misbah as long as I live. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed once again in Surah An-Nur, He revealed verse 22, which states, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِنَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Let not those who have money refuse to give their money in charity to their relatives and the poor people and the muhajireen who have immigrated in the sake of Allah. Misbah was a relative of Abu Bakr, and he was of the poor people, and he was of the muhajireen. So Allah revealed in these verses also, when the incident of Aisha occurred, He revealed verses pertaining to Abu Bakr. And He said, let not those with money refuse to give their money to their relatives and the poor people and the muhajireen. And we said Misbah was the relative and of the poor people and of the muhajireen. Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them forgive and forget. The afu means you do not take heed to what was said. You don't take any action based upon what was said. And the safah means you forget about it, you ignore it. Afu means you forgive. And the safah means you turn away and you forget. So Allah says, let them forgive and let them forget. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not desire that Allah forgives you? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah is غَفُورُ and Rahim. Ya Subhanallah. Can there be a religion like this religion of Islam? Can there be a sharia like this sharia of Islam? Can there be akhlaq and manners like are present in Islam? Abu Bakr says, I will not give a single penny to this Misbah. He has slandered my daughter. He has slandered the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet Allah revealed in the Quran, do not stop giving charity to the poor people, to the muhajireen, to their relatives. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget the slander. Subhanallah, a person does something, 1 millionth of an evil as this, and we will remember it for the rest of our lives. when this verse was revealed. Again, look at the beauty of this verse. Allah did not command Abu Bakr. Rather, it is a type of gentleness. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ Do you not love that Allah forgives you? Do you not wish that Allah forgives you? Allah is not saying, Ya Abu Bakr, you have sinned. Abu Bakr did not do a sin. Allah is not saying, Abu Bakr, you had better start giving your money back. Rather, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ Do you not desire? Don't you wish that Allah forgives you? When you forgive Him, Allah will forgive you. So it is a type of gentleness, a type of beseeching that Allah does to Abu Bakr. And obviously it works. This is Abu Bakr we're talking about. So when these verses were revealed, he said, By Allah, yes, wallahi, I want to be forgiven by Allah. Oh Allah, as long as I live, Mistah will get a stipend from me. As long as I have 2 feet and I'm earning money, a portion of my money will go to the same person that slandered my daughter. As long as I live, Mistah will get that money from me. Look at the mercy of the Sahaba. Look at the iman of Abu Bakr. Look at the beauty of this religion of Islam. Look at the perfection of it. Ya subhanallah. Does this not make us feel guilty? When our Muslim brother does something wrong to us, that cannot compare with what Mistah did to Aisha. And our hearts are hard. Our hearts, we will never forgive him. He did this and this to me. As long as I live, I will be cruel to him. As long as I live, I will not visit his house. As long as I live, I will turn away from him when he gives salam. Look at Abu Bakr. As long as I live, I will pay him some money, some charity. Let us feel guilty, brothers and sisters, every one of us. And I speak about myself first and foremost. Your Muslim brothers will do harm to you. They will do evil to you. But forgive and forget. And know that the one who has been wronged is on a higher level in the sight of Allah than the one that wrongs. When a person wrongs you, when he slanders you, when he does something about you that he should not do, wallahi, brothers and sisters, fall in sajda, thanking Allah that you are the one who has been wronged and not the one doing the wrong. Thank Allah that He has given you this opportunity to show your akhlaq, to show your iman in Him, to show your patience in Him, to show your generosity to your Muslim brothers. And that you have something to look forward to on the Day of Judgment. Be thankful that you are the mazloom and not the zalim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha's continuing the story, had already asked Zainab bint Jahsh about me. Zainab bint Jahsh was one of the main wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her a lot, and she was extremely beautiful and extremely generous. The Prophet ﷺ loved her a lot as well. So she said, she was my main rival from amongst the Prophet's wives. She was the main co-wife of the Prophet ﷺ. Now obviously Aisha is retracting that this is before the verses had been revealed. So he asked her, what do you know about her? And what have you seen from Aisha? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I will protect my hearing and seeing. By Allah, I only know good of her. Zainab bint Jahsh, the one who has the most jealousy for Aisha, and Aisha has the most jealousy for her. She says, I will only speak good of her. I will protect my hearing and seeing. I don't want to expose my hearing and seeing to the punishment of Allah by lying, by claiming something happened that didn't occur. I only know good about her. So Aisha says, Allah saved her because of her piety. Allah saved her because of her taqwa. Her taqwa saved her. Had she wished, she could have said something wrong. Had she wished, this is the opportunity that she could seize to draw a cut, to detach the Prophet from Aisha. She could have lied. She could have said something. But Aisha herself, look at Aisha. She is the one narrating the story. She says her taqwa of Allah, her fear of Allah saved her at this time. And she says, Ya Rasulullah, I must protect my hearing and seeing. The punishment of Allah is more hated to me. It is something I cannot bear than a lie that I might be able to get your blessings and your love with. Yet her sister, Hamana bint Jahsh, she thought that she was fighting on behalf of Zainab, so she spread the slander. The sister of Zainab, Hamana, she was amongst those who spread the slander, so she was destroyed amongst those who were destroyed. So there were three people that were amongst the Sahaba who spread the slander. All the rest were munafiqun. But three of the Sahaba fell into this mistake. Zayd ibn Thabit, the famous poet. Hamana bint Jahsh. and Misbah ibn Uthatha. Misbah, the son of Umm Misbah. Okay? So these three Sahaba, and they were of the Sahaba, they were taken and they were whipped 80 times because of this, and the revelation was there and their punishment was there. Because they were whipped and because the punishment was given upon them, we do not say anything but good about them. Allah caused them to be punished in this life, and they are forgiven for that sin that they fell into. Therefore, we say nothing but good about them. So these three people were punished because of this. This also shows you that it is possible for a mu'min to do a major sin. Hassan ibn Thabit. Did I say Zayd? Sorry, Hassan. Hassan ibn Thabit. I said Zayd is a mistake. Slip of the tongue. Hassan ibn Thabit, the poet. Hassan ibn Thabit, the same one whom the Prophet ﷺ said about, Ya Hassan, say your poetry in defense of me, the angel Jibreel is helping you. The same Hassan whom the Prophet ﷺ encouraged, the great companion, the noble companion, he fell into a mistake. Therefore, O believers, don't lose heart when you commit a sin. Don't lose heart when you commit a sin. The Sahaba before you committed sins. The Sahaba before you fell into major sins. And Allah forgave them because of those sins. And it is of the mercy of Allah that we have these instances before us. That they did something they shouldn't have done. And they were punished because of it. And that because of this we only speak good about them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them in this life. Aisha goes on and she says, the man that they accused of as well, in other words, Safwan ibn Mu'attal, the man that they had accused of, he as well swore when this incident was going on, Subhanallah, by him in whose hands is my life, is my soul, I have never raised the veil of any woman in my life. I have never come close to a woman. I am still a virgin. I have not touched a woman. Not just that, I have not lifted the veil from her. He also was trying to prove his innocence. But the munafiqun are the ones who don't care what you say. You could swear by Allah a million oaths, but it will fall on deaf ears for the munafiqun. He himself is swearing by Allah, I have not even lifted the veil of a woman, much less gone beyond that. And Aisha says, later on he was martyred, a shaheed, in one of the battles in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the high status of Safwan, and look at the praise that the Prophet ﷺ gave him, and Aisha herself. As for the hypocrites, it was the wisdom of Allah that they not be punished in this world. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, even though he was the one who concocted this lie, he was not taken and whipped 80 times. Why? Do you know why? Because a whipping in this dunya would have been letting him off from the crime. It would have been making it easy for him to walk away from this. And Allah therefore revealed in the Qur'an, the one who was the leader amongst them will have عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, a great punishment. So when this verse was revealed, he is left for that punishment. He will not be punished in this life. He has a greater punishment. To be whipped 80 times for this slander, he is getting off easy. No, he will have a great punishment in the Akhirah. So look at the wisdom. The Sahaba were punished. Those who believed in Allah and His Messenger, and they realized the mistake, they were whipped 80 times. But the munafiqun, they are left alone. You will be dealt with in the Akhirah. You are too filthy for us to deal with you in this dunya. And this, in this, is a type of showing the status of the munafiqun. It is as if they are too dirty, they are too evil. They will not even be touched in this dunya. Rather, it will be left until the Day of Judgment for them to be dealt with. And then Urwa narrates, Urwa is the one narrating this hadith, and he concludes by saying, Aisha hated that Hassan ibn Thabit be spoken about evil in front of him. Aisha could not bear if other people spoke bad about Hassan ibn Thabit. The same person who was spreading one of these slanders and lies. But Aisha could not bear to hear it. Why? Because he was of the mu'minun. He was of the Sahaba. The same innocent girl who was being slandered by these people, if they were from the Sahaba, she defends Misbah. She defends Usaid or Sa'id when they stand up and tries to defend Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. And now she defends Hassan, always finding an excuse, always trying to find a way out for them. So Urwa narrates, Aisha did not like that Hassan ibn Thabit be spoken about in an evil manner in front of her. Look at the iman, look at the akhlaq, look at the nobility of Aisha, the Siddiqa, the bint of the Siddiq, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Verily in the story of the slander, the qissatul ifk, there are many, many, many benefits for us to learn. We find in it the status of Aisha radiallahu anha, And therefore the scholars say that any person who dares accuse Aisha of this crime, then he is a kafir whose money and life and property are halal for the Muslim to take. He is a kafir in Allah and His Messenger, because Allah revealed over 20 verses in Surah An-Nur about the innocence of Aisha. Yet we have to this day the Ithna Ashariya, the Rafidiyya, those whom the people call the Shia, Khomeini and his like, who explicitly mention this crime upon Aisha. May Allah's eternal curse be upon them. Anyone who mentions this is a kafir in Allah and His Messenger. We find in this story the status of Aisha radiallahu anha. We find in this story the fact that the believers will be tested in various methods and means. Aisha was tested by her honor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tested by his household. Abu Bakr and Umm Ruman were tested. The Sahaba were tested. Verily, the more iman you have, the more you will be tested. And that testing might be in a very personal manner, a manner that affects your honor, your integrity, your soul, like the Prophet and Aisha were tested. But be patient, because we find that the fruit of patience is always sweet. We find that in the end, it is always the mu'min, it is always the one who is patient, who will be able to overcome the desires, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prove their patience fruitful. He will prove the good for them in this dunya and in the akhirah. We also find in this story the honor of a Muslim woman. The only crime in which you need four witnesses to testify is that when a Muslim woman's honor is involved, when the crime of zina is there, when a murder is committed, when a person steals, when a person does any crime, you only need two witnesses. If there are two witnesses, that is it, it is a confirmed crime. But there is a crime that in some ways is worse than murder. The crime of attacking a Muslim woman's honor. The crime of accusing a Muslim of something he did not do. An evil, a heinous, a disgusting, a filthy crime. The crime of zina. So in this case, you need four actual witnesses to the actual act of intercourse. If they saw the actual act in occurrence, then and only then will the crime of zina be established, unless the person confesses by himself. Otherwise, there is no way of establishing this crime. And you find also in this story the evil of ghibah, of backbiting. The evil of namima, of spreading tales. The evil of buhtan and ifk, of slanders. Look at how it tore the Muslim community apart. Look at how it almost tore the Prophet's household. Look at the effect that it had. And this is perhaps one of the main themes that we can benefit from in our times and in this place and with the time that we live in. The evils of backbiting and of slander and of spreading tales, unsubstantiated tales that attack a person's honor, a person's integrity. And without a doubt, this story is not anything that we can compare to in our lives, but still the essence is there. The slander of Aisha is far worse than any other slander that anyone can do upon anyone. But still there is a benefit here for us. There is a lesson to be learned here for us. Oh brothers and sisters, let us not act like the munafiqun by spreading tales, by spreading slanders and lies about our Muslim brothers and sisters. Rather, when we hear something, let us say, Subhanaka hadha buhtanun azeem. Let us say we should not speak about this until it is confirmed. Let us say that what right do we have to spread these from tongue to tongue? Rather, we have bigger things to worry about, more important things to worry about. Let us not trivialize the honor of a Muslim brother or sister. Rather, you might think it is trivial in the sight of Allah, but it is very, very great and grand in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I conclude by quoting one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said that riba, interest, usury, is of 72 categories, 72 ranks, 72 stations, 72 levels of riba. The lowest of them, the lowest level of riba, is equivalent to having intercourse with your mother. The lowest level of riba is equivalent to having intercourse with your mother. And then he went on and he said, وَإِنَّ أَرْبَ الرِّبَى. And the most worst type of riba, Arba riba. The greatest form of riba. Remember, the lowest form of riba is equivalent to having intercourse with your mother. 72 levels higher than this. Wa inna arba riba. The worst form of riba is to speak about the honor of your Muslim brother. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
جزاكم الله خير to our brother Abu Ammar. Inshallah, we'll open the floor for questions now. So, wish to.
About what? Niqab. The question was about niqab, or covering the woman's face. What is the different opinions about the fuqaha? This is a very sensitive issue, because the sisters, all of them, hold very strong opinions about it either way. And the fact of the matter is that whatever opinion a person holds, he should not make his opinion the only opinion that is correct, in the sense that he should realize that the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah have differed about this issue. Okay, our own scholars have differed about this issue from the past to the present. There are different opinions about this issue. So if a certain brother or a sister holds one opinion, let him not look down upon someone who holds another opinion. Okay, a certain person might think that it is wajib, so he will make fun of the people or the sisters that are not having it, and this is not proper. Another person might think it is mustahab, so he will make fun of those who always cover themselves as well with niqab, and this too is not proper. So if anyone holds one opinion, let him or her not look down upon the other party or the other side. Also, let him not have ill feelings or bad manners. Rather, if one wants to discuss this issue, it should be based upon knowledge, it should be based upon good akhlaq, and if the other person is not convinced, then fine, they have many ulama behind them. In my humble opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Okay, so I am the type that this opinion, I really admit that there is a strong ikhtilaf here. And when you read the evidences, I would like to point out that most of those brothers and sisters, especially those that don't speak Arabic and they have not studied, they are not students of knowledge. Therefore, they have not studied the evidences directly. Rather, they have read some translations of certain things in English, and so they jump to a conclusion very adamantly and upon great emotion. But it is not proper, because they have not studied the issue firsthand. As for me, I have studied this issue and Allah knows best. I am inclined towards the opinion that it is obligatory, especially upon those sisters who are young, and they will be a fitna to those that look at them. And one of the strongest proofs is this story right in front of you. This story right in front of you, that Aisha says, he had seen me before the verses of hijab had been revealed. In other words, after the verses of hijab had been revealed, there, I would cover my face. The meaning of that is that, because you recognize everyone, as every person knows, and no one except an Arabic person will deny, you recognize by the face. You don't recognize by the feet, you don't recognize by the hands, you recognize by the face. So the fact that Safwan had seen her before the ayat of the hijab, why is Aisha mentioning this? She is saying the only way he would possibly have recognized me is because he had seen me before the verses of hijab. And then also the next thing, immediately when he saw me and I woke up, I covered myself with my face. Explicit things here. As for those who differentiate between the hijab of the Prophet's wives and the hijab of other Muslim women, then there is no explicit thing to this effect. The Prophet's wives, la shak, without a doubt, they had to be guarded and protected more than the other women, but there is no evidence to suggest that the rulings pertaining to them were any different than the other sahabiyat. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And I will not entertain any more questions about niqab. Okay? If you have another opinion, alhamdulillah. Now, I'm not the person to ask them, because this is the opinion that I follow. Is it permissible to spread good rumors when you're not sure if the rumor is true or not? Without a doubt, spreading rumors that have a good connotation are not sinful, but still they should be verified. Okay, they should be verified before anything of this nature is spread, because it is possible that someone hears a good rumor and he takes an action based upon that, and that action is turned out to be useless and futile based upon the good rumor. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If one is accused of a crime which they did not do, and even though you try to justify or prove your innocence, but justice is not done, and people treat you differently because of that crime, what should you do? Okay, so basically you are accused of something you are free of, and you are accused of being guilty when you are in fact innocent. What should you do? Wallahi, brothers, I'm telling you honestly and in all truth, thank Allah. Thank Allah that you are the one that is wronged and not the one that is doing the wrong. الظُلْمُ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The Prophet ﷺ said, injustice, ظُلْم, will be darkness on the Day of Judgment. Thank Allah that you have not wronged anyone. Rather, people have wronged you. And if you have been wronged severely, then raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clear you of this wrong. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the one that has been wronged, that he said that the dua of the one that has been wronged, it raises up to the heavens like lightning. And the doors of the skies open up for it. And it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says to that soul that has been wronged, لَأَنصُرَنَّكِ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ بِعِزَّتِ وَجَلَالِ لَأَنصُرَنَّكِ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ By my honor and glory, I will respond to your dua. I will help you, even if it's after some time. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make you innocent and free you of this guilt that you have been accused of. And make sure that you do not fall into dhulm when people have done dhulm to you. You do not do injustice when people have done injustice to you. Be patient and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed yani reward you for your patience and give you the ajr for what you have been accused of, that which is not true. Is backbiting against children a sin? The children are not mukallaf, they are not responsible, therefore backbiting about them does not carry the weight that